Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The story rubs a lot of the people the wrong way. Like every parable that our Lord gives, we need to consider it and ponder it. Probably we're going to find connections to our own lives, identify ourselves with the characters, and see where we fit into the story. Enter this parable today. You might consider whether you have entered the vineyard early on, the 11th hour, or somewhere in between. And you might be wondering just how hot it would be in the midday sun. These questions aren't the focus of Jesus at all. The parable is not really about you or I. It's all about the ridiculous generosity of the master of the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. This parable is about our Lord and his kingdom before it is ever about you or me. We should always ask the question, what does this reading convey about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before we ever ask questions about how this verse or reading applies to us? We should ask the question about how it speaks about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does it speak about his nature, about his character? Does it speak to us about Christ's atoning work at the cross? Address those questions first before applying things to yourselves. The parable is about Jesus and his kingdom of grace before it's about anyone in it. In the kingdom of heaven, grace always comes first. Jesus always comes first. He's the one who makes the first move. Isaiah may speak about seeking the Lord where he may be found, but those who seek him are those who have been prompted one way or another by God the Holy Spirit. And consider this as well. When we read about men or women seeking the Lord, a perfect story is Zacchaeus. Though he wished to see Jesus, it's Jesus who comes and finds him and seeks him out and says, I need to go to your house today, Zacchaeus. Jesus is going to find you before you find him. And Jesus does not need help from you for this to occur. But getting back to the vineyard and the laborers, it's by pure grace that any laborers are called to the vineyard at all. The landowner goes and seeks workers out for himself. And the landowner and the first laborers agree on a fair wage of the day, a denarius. It's a single day's wage. And yet, when it comes to getting paid at the end of the day, there's complaining and groaning. Who's never had that happen before? Even in the vineyard, a place that is typically described as a paradise, there's complaining. The place where heaven and earth meet, the church, people are still prone to complain about the master's gracious hiring practices. In the case of this parable, the laborers do not agree with their master's practices, especially their pay. Those who had been called early are later found grumbling. These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. These days, it might be like this. I've been a good Christian all my life. I've served the Lord with gladness wherever I've been. I take care of my family, and I make sure that I'm a good steward with the money I have, and I make sure that I give to the church. Why am I like the one who's just made the deathbed confession? But that's our ways of looking at things. Those are not God's ways. We want special treatment for faithfulness. But tell me with honesty, do you really only serve the Lord all the days of your life? How many of you are actively inviting your neighbors to church? How many of you are giving your tithe happily to the church? And make sure the ministry of the gospel continues here and in the North Indianapolis communities. How many of you have been persecuted to the point of losing your job because of your faith? It's absurd and a lie to call ourselves faithful workers in the vineyard, no matter when we may have been baptized. But yet, here we are, making sure people know I was baptized when I was a baby. I'm synodically trained. My family traces its history back to Saxony or some other thing. We are to repent if we think we deserve more than someone else when it comes to God's grace. But we often do this and then thus begrudge the generosity that's shown to those whom the Master has called into his vineyard at a later hour. But Jesus says, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Why are you upset with me that I'm a good and gracious person with what is mine to give?" If we want Jesus to look at the work that we've accomplished in the vineyard, he would find little work being done. Likely be able to replay all the times that we've grumbled and complained about the mundane work. A preached word, water in a font, bread and wine. How do these things bear fruit? How great if the Master picked up some awesome and clever slogan, a program for hiring perhaps. Now, in today's world, and in our world that we live in, it's neither fair nor a good business practice to pay the Johnny-come-latelys the same wage as those who have worked all day. It's bad for worker morale. If you think that getting ridiculed for speaking about marriage being solely between a man and a woman, or abortion is murder, if you think that is working in the heat of the day, I welcome you to read the various accounts of the martyrs. And they can tell you what real heat is. It's time to repent. It's time to acknowledge the truth. We are workers who went into the vineyard and then took a break and hid out in the vineyard row for the rest of the day where nobody could find us. We are truly unworthy and truly unprofitable servants. But the Master is generous nevertheless. His generosity does not stop. He actually rewards those who do not work. He gives the denarius to the men who are unprofitable, those who have only worked for him 1 hour, if that. The Master graciously called you into his vineyard, and he is the one who has promised to pay you regardless of performance. What is crazier is that the workers are never even told what they're supposed to do while in the vineyard. We only assume it. The job is never described in detail in our reading. It's easy for us to assume it's the harvest, but the text is not specific. With that in mind, if we are laborers for Christ, the best thing we can do is what we talked about last week. To do the work of Christ in the world, we need to be constantly filled with Christ himself. It is to be in the place where heaven and earth meet, the place where food and wine are given to you without price. It's by being filled with Christ that we are able to be such a beacon of light in this world for others to know Christ and him alone. You are brought here into this very place so that the Master may have a harvest. You are part of that harvest, and those who are blessed by the grace of God to be called into the vineyard too. And you and I are not working for a wage, but your wage has been guaranteed. You have the gift of eternal life already in the bag. We do not toil for vain things, but we can joyfully do work as those who work for a gracious master, that he might have the greatest harvest possible. And we can do these things joyfully. The analogy is not perfect, but there is something to be said for all of us having had the word of Christ dwelling within us. We have that word so that we may spread the good seed into the hearts of others, so that the harvest is the work of the Lord and him alone. But we, knowing that we have been loved much and given that gift of eternal life as our eternal reward, can joyfully do that work of calling others to seek the Lord while he may be found. We can have joy in telling others to come and see what it is the Lord has done for us and how he does that even for them, that they might know the salvation in Christ Jesus. Christ is here with his cheer, and never will he leave us. The Master is generous with his grace. His grace extends to all. No one is beyond his saving. As long as people are alive, they are not beyond being saved, no matter what hour their lives may be at. For no one but the Son, Jesus Christ, has ultimately done the work of the vineyard perfectly. He is the one who came and served in your stead. It is he who bore the heat and burden of the day. He has borne the sins of the world. And like a seed of wheat, Jesus went into the ground, and having thus died, he bore much fruit. And the harvest of such fruit is still taking place. You and I are blessed to be part of that harvest, blessed to be called Christ's own. And we are blessed now to be called laborers, so that we might rejoice in the generosity of our Master, and rejoice when we are used as laborers in the harvest that will ultimately be seen in the fullness at the last. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.